This is Carl Johnson with an essay from the back page. During his college undergraduate days, my son Corey worked at an Environmental Protection Agency water research laboratory. And during that time, he became pretty good friends with a co-worker who was also a college student from India. Corey invited him to our worship services on a number of occasions, but I don't think he ever attended. In fact, he confessed to Corey on one occasion that since he was a poor, struggling college student, he only attended churches that offered free food. He was going to attend a local Baptist church on one particular evening, and the next evening he was going to attend a pizza bash at a large Cups and Classes Church of Christ. He jokingly quipped to Corey, "Today I'm Baptist, but tomorrow I'm Church of Christ." This young man is a modern example of the bread seekers who confronted Jesus near Capernaum on the day after he miraculously fed 5,000 of them by multiplying 5 loaves and fishes, according to John 6, verses 1 through 27. Jesus was in hopes that his miracle would open the eyes of the multitude to the fact that he is the Messiah. The multitudes, however, were more concerned about Jesus' being able to provide them with bread that could fill their bellies than they were the eternal nourishment that he could provide them as the bread of life. Well, Jesus refused to pander to them, and they left him. In the late first century, the general Roman populace had descended into this same type of spiritual dullness. A Roman poet by the name of Juvenal said that the Romans of his day were only concerned about two things, bread and circuses. The elite governing class was able to control the people by providing them plenty of bread to satisfy their hunger and by distracting them with various forms of entertainment. Well, it's sad enough that there are still bread seekers in the religious world today, but what is sadder still is to see churches falling prey to the base demands of the bread seekers and offering them not only bread, but also circuses in hopes of enticing them to follow the Lord. 15 years ago, John MacArthur, in his book Ashamed of the Gospel, wrote a scathing expose of this practice within the so-called evangelical churches. He says, quote, "Church growth experts have concluded that the priorities of the early church, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, Acts 2 and verse 42, do not seem to work anymore. Preaching is being discarded or downplayed in favor of newer means, such as drama, dance, comedy, variety, sideshow histrionics, pop psychology, and other entertainment forms. The new methods are supposedly more effective. In other words, they draw a bigger crowd. And since for many, the chief criterion for gauging success of a church has become attendance figures, therefore whatever pulls in the most people is accepted without critical analysis as good." A survey in a recent article in Time magazine entitled America's Unfaithful Faithful revealed that in spite of such growth strategies as mentioned above, that American churches are still experiencing a high rate of what they call churn. And that is the practice of people jumping from one religion to another. The article implies that the religious marketplace is so highly competitive today that some groups feel that they've got to dilute their particular beliefs in order to compete. And what appears to be an example of this is found in an article on the front page of the religion section in Oklahoma's largest newspaper, The Oklahoman, under the heading of Instruments of Change. The article is about the Quail Springs Church of Christ, breaking from tradition and adding a service that will include instrumental music. And when asked what he hoped to accomplish by this move, the local preacher explained, "We want to keep more of our people who are leaving to go to instrumental churches." And then he added, "The other thing that we're trying to do is reach some of the people that we've been missing." And he explained that occasionally the church has visitors from the community who are turned off by the fact that they don't have instrumental music, and the church wants to appeal to them. He was hoping that a band with a drum set, a keyboard, and 2 or 3 guitars would satisfy that need. I have a fundamental difference with the preacher mentioned above concerning the meaning of the silence of the Scriptures. If the Bible is silent about an item of worship, such as instrumental music, I believe that we should abstain from it. He says that he believes that if a practice is not specifically condemned in the Bible, that he is at liberty to do it. Well, regardless of the ongoing debate about the silence of the Scriptures, the fact remains that people who are attracted to a church because it offers food on a regular basis and has a great-sounding band are not likely to stay at that church long enough to be rooted in any kind of doctrine. As soon as they run across a church with a better band and a better menu, they're likely to churn on. Those who are more concerned about bread and circuses than they are doctrinal truth will have no qualms about echoing the quip from my son's friend, "Today I'm Baptist, but tomorrow I'm Church of Christ."